Father, we continue to lift up, my God, our people to you, Father, those that are going through things, that are grieving from death, God, and their families. You know the needs they have, God. Many in our church. Those that are sick, God, you know their names. You know who they are, God. We voice them every Sunday, every Wednesday, but you know who they are, God. You know how to heal them, God. Father, we pray those requests, God, to you, knowing that, Father, these services, God, poses a place, God, for us to come and gather together and believe together. Now I pray you use me, God, to speak to your people tonight. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. 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 Praise the Lord. You can be seated. Man, it was good to be with you guys singing and worshiping tonight. Amen. 2 weeks without 2 weeks without being with you guys is like, it's tough, man. Amen. My mom said she went to go visit in Colorado, and she went to a church. I'm not going to say what church or what name of the church. We went to the church. She goes, oh, the worship was great, but it was so dead. And I go, really? She goes, yeah, I missed home so bad. She's in Colorado with my... She goes, yeah, I went, and the church was beautiful, and the music was good, but the church was dead. Everybody was just sitting there. Just dead, dead, dead. I said, God, I hope people don't come to our church and say, I went to Victor Outreach, and it was dead, dead, dead. God, that would hurt my heart. Amen. We alive? You know what? I heard one time that revival is. Revival is when the church wakes up. Some people think revival is a bunch of songs and dancing, but revival is when the church wakes up. And you know what it means to wake up? When the church repents, when the church gets a hold of God and just says, God, I don't want no more of me anymore. I want to just serve you, God. That's what revival is. Revival is when the church awakens. How many know we're awake tonight? Amen? We want to stay awake. We don't want to be sleepy on God. We don't be sleepy in our city. We want to wake up and stay awake. Come on, somebody give the Lord a shout about that. Amen? Take your Bibles with me. I'm going to be preaching on a familiar portion, a familiar subject, character in the Bible, but with a different twist. And Luke chapter 15, this is a story of the prodigal son. And we're going to speak a little bit differently about this story than you maybe have ever heard. Maybe you have, maybe you've thought of it, but I've never preached it this way. But Luke chapter 15, and we're going to start in verse number 11. God, I haven't preached in like almost 3 weeks. So forgive me if I bomb out, man. I heard you guys had some church Sunday, last Sunday, Wednesday. Amen. And I said, man, I haven't preached. And I've been chomping at the bit to preach for a week. Everywhere I go, I've been preaching to everybody I could. But not all of them listen to me, you know what I mean? So hope you listen tonight. Luke chapter 15, verse 11. Let's run right into it. Then he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that fall to me. So he divided them his livelihood. Not many days after that, the young son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country. There he wasted his possessions with prodigal living, crazy living. But when he had spent all everything he had, every last dime, there arose a severe famine in the land. And he began to be in want. Verse 16 says, and he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods of the swine that they ate, and no one gave him anything to eat. I mean, I couldn't even go out and beg for food. Nobody would give him nothing. There was nothing. There was nothing to give. But when he came to himself, your Bible might say when he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and here I perish with hunger? I know, he says, I know what I'll do. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. I want you to focus on this verse. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. I've titled this message tonight, You're Attracted to What You Expect in Your Heart. Whatever you expect, you're attracted to that. If you if you expect nothing, then you're attracted to nothing. If you attract God's blessings, if you're attracted to God's, if you expect it from Him, if you expect Him to bless your life, then you're attracted to that. You're not searching for it. You're just expecting it to happen. You understand what I'm saying? And I think about this prodigal son. He was so desperate. Have you ever been so desperate? Sometimes I talk to some people out there in the streets that are homeless, and I tell them, are you desperate? And they say, yeah, I'm desperate. So why don't you come to the home? No, I'm not that desperate. Because they're making some money out there in the corner, you know what I mean? There's one girl right there in Carlisle, and she must have a good thing going on right there in Constitution. She's there every single day. She does this to everybody. Like, I'm so happy. I know I make about $300-$400 a day, $500 maybe. Come on, somebody. Hey, you want to go to the home? No. But have you ever been desperate? I've been desperate. For the day I got saved, I was desperate. I was so desperate, I was willing to do whatever. And he was so desperate, and he was so defeated that he didn't expect anything from anybody, because once he began to ask for food and nobody gave him anything, think about what that says. And no one gave him anything. At that moment, he realized in his mind that he had squandered every last blessing that he possessed. Everything that had come to him, he wiped it out. It was gone. He had nothing else. So at that point, he didn't expect anything. So then he makes the comment, I know what I'll do. I'll just go home and I'll confess to my father, and he could just make me like one of the hired servants. I won't have to be his son no more. Because I blew it. I messed up my relationship with my dad, my brother, my family, everybody. Everybody knows I messed up everything. He was so desperate that he went home expecting nothing from his father. Verse 19 says it more than this. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. In other words, in his own eyes, he didn't expect anything from God. He's all, I'm okay being a hired servant. I want to speak to you on this subject tonight about being attracted to what you expect, because I believe there's some people in this room tonight, there's some people listening to this message tonight that need to have this. You need to understand who you are. You see, you become what you expect. We're having a back to church theme this whole month. Because a lot of people, if you drive around, if you're ever out on a Sunday at any time early, you look around and say, there's so many people that don't go to church, so many people that are hurting, so many people that are lost. Some people are not doing bad at all. They're doing good. They're making money, but they're not in church. They're not fulfilling their calling in God. And you think about, there's so many people that need to get back to church. But what happens a lot of times is people feel guilty, and sometimes people make people feel guilty. You need to get back in church already. What's wrong with you? And you know, that's not the way to get somebody back to church. You know, but you become what you expect. And sometimes people say, I expect to get judged when I get to church, because I haven't been there in a while. I expect people to say, oh, what have you been doing? I've been doing none of you. You know what that is? None of your business. See, when you live in expectation, you live with clear eyes. Your eyes are always open to what's about to come to you. There's a clarity. There's a sense of vision. There's a sense of being able to see greater than when you're not expecting. When you're not expecting, you're just walking around. You know, my dad had this thing. I mean, he says, son, he goes, you gotta walk around looking. Make sure you look around the room. He taught me, look around the room. Look on the floor. There might be a $5 bill on the floor. And I have found money on the floor. But if I would have been just... You don't even know where you're going. But, you know, I look around. I think sometimes people get uptight with me because I look at people. I like to look at people, especially at airports. And they probably look and say, is that guy a cop? Or is he going to, like, pickpocket me? What is he? Because I'm always looking. I just like to look at it. I look at everything. And, you know, I'm the perfect guy at the hotel because I look through everything. I go, Barb, did you forget anything? She goes, no, I got everything, babe. And then she's the same way as well. We look at everything. We have our routine. We know where to go. We like to look at everything. We want to check everything out. We want to make sure we see. There's a lot of people, when you're expecting, like when I go out on the prowl for souls, I'm attracted to what I expect. Everywhere I go, somebody's going to hear about Jesus. Somebody's going to hear about it. It don't have to be any one type of people. everywhere. It's at restaurants. It's at the on the street. It's at the Walmart. I don't care because I'm attracted to what I expect. I expect people to respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And see, this guy couldn't see clearly. And when you don't live in expectation, you can't see what God has for you. Because you're too busy being desperate. You're too busy wondering why you're not blessed like everybody else. You're too busy not seeing, not expecting, that you can't expect anything. And God wants you to begin to think in this manner. He wants you to begin to be attracted to what you expect. He wants you to begin to become attracted to the expectations that you have in your heart for God. Abraham had expectation that everything was going to be okay, so he was attracted to that. He didn't say, oh, but God, come on, you gave me this son. He didn't make no excuse. He just grabbed the firewood, grabbed the knife, got the rope, got the donkey, got his two guys together. They walked to the place. He walked up to the top, tied him up, put the wood on the fire, was about to slay his son, and God says, stop. The angel of the Lord said, stop, and he provided a ram in the thicket. Why? Because he could actually be attracted to what he expected. He knew that when he walked up the mountain, God would make a way somehow, some way. This guy, I like to call him Johnny. Johnny couldn't see. He couldn't see that his father loved him. He couldn't see that despite the way he messed up, despite the fact that he blew his inheritance, the fact that he was crazy living when he should have been at home building on the ranch and helping his brother, and so he blew it all, and he thought in his mind, he says, I am expecting nothing, which is not it's a humility, it's a humble thing. Okay, you can be humble, but you know, a friend of mine recently told me, I go, how you doing? He goes, better than I deserve. I said, what do you mean? Well, you know, because he's had a lot of issues in his life, a lot of up and downs. I said, you better change that. That sounds really humble. That might have been humble for the first year or two, but you need to get this straight right now. You're God's, you're a prince. You're a son of the king. And when you're a prince, you have the benefits of the king. You have you're the benefits of the king when you're a prince or a princess. And that's who you are. That's who you are. You just don't believe it. You can't see it. That's why. You don't see who you are. All you see is what's happened to you. All you see is what people have said about you. But you better get something straight here tonight, that if you're going to be attracted to what you expect, you need to start expecting some bigger things and some better things, instead of saying, you know what? I don't deserve a good man because I have nothing. This happened to me. I don't deserve a good woman because I've messed up every relationship I ever had. You need to start thinking differently. Begin to see differently. It almost cost him his life to be so crazy in his life. But then he came in his desperation. He realized that going back home was the only hope he had. Realizing that I won't get nothing, but it doesn't matter. At least I'll be safe. Maybe. The Bible says in verse 20, so he rose and came to his father. But when he still was a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And his son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven in your sight, and I am no longer to be called worthy of your son. Just like he promised he would do. I'm no longer to be worthy of your son. Don't call me your son. I'm not worthy of it. Oh, I love verse 22. He says, but the father said to his servants, hey, bring out my nicest jacket, a robe. Let me paraphrase. Let me translate it differently. Bring my nice jacket, the beautiful one, bring it out. You know the one I wear for special banquets and occasions? Bring me that one. And then put it on him. You guys put it on him. And put that ring on his hand and make sure he's got some sandals. Because imagine, if he needed to put sandals on his feet, that means he had no shoes. That means he was walking barefooted. Can you imagine how his feet must have looked? Full of calluses and bleeding and dirty. How he must have looked, how he must have smelled. He was dirty. He was eating with the pigs, my friends. He was amongst the swine. And think about that. Immediately, dad says, go get the robe, put a ring on his finger, get him some sandals, let's get this guy, and let's take him a bath for God's sake. And he says, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it and let us eat. Let's have a big, we're having a big old matanza. We're going to have it all. For this is my son who was dead and is alive again. He was lost and now he's found. And they began, everybody, the Bible says they began to get merry. Everybody got excited. The whole camp. Because, you know, can you imagine the father walking around every day all bummed out and hear it now, his son's back? Huh? Think about this. This guy must have been blown away. Because, I mean, he had to expect it something. He would just let me be like one of the hired servants. That's all he was expecting. See, his expectation was low level. And some of us, sometimes, we have low-level expectation of what God wants to bless you with. But when you come to the church, you have low-level expectation. Like, I know nobody will, you know, befriend me, and I'm not worthy of be called. You know what? You got to change your mentality. You see, he wouldn't have went back if he didn't expect a little something. So we got to establish that he did have some type of expectation. I think that expectation was very low-level. But nonetheless, I think he had some. But he was attracted. The one thing he was attracted to, he must have known the love of his dad. He had to know that his dad loved really hard. Because first of all, his dad could have whooped him and said, I ain't giving you no inheritance. The Bible says that he asked him and he says, here it is, son. Go ahead. That means he knew his dad loved him. Because his dad says, no, I'm cutting you off, dude. If you went out, you know, you've heard this story before. If you're going out, you're going out without my blessing. Go on, make your own bones. But you ain't taking nothing from this house. But instead, he gives him everything that he should have had later. So he knew in his mind, my dad has love. And he'll at least love me enough to let me live in the bunkhouse with the servants. Eat the food they eat. I'll be happy with that because right now I'm eating pig food. Come on, somebody. Let me run quick. His level of expectation was so low that he settled for crumbs. Some of you have been settling for crumbs all your life. And God is saying, you know what? I got a big, juicy piece of bread. Man, awesome bread. And you got crumbs on the floor. You're happy just eating the crumbs of life. You know what? You know what? Let me tell you something right now. A lot of these men in the front row right here, they used to eat crumbs in jail. Most of the men in this thing spent a lot of time in jail, in prison, in the front row right here. I'm just talking about them, because I can talk about them. You might get offended, so they can't get offended. Most of these guys probably deserve to spend all their lives in them, right? Me too. But they know how to eat crumbs. But you know what we taught them within the first couple of years of being in the ministry? We taught them you're more than a crumb eater. You can be whatever you want to be. They heard messages over this pulpit. Over the pulpits at 905 Atrisco, over the pulpits at 933 Sunset, over the pulpit of Rio Grande High School, over the pulpits of Westside Community Center, over the pulpits of Charleston, over the pulpits of 1401 Lead. Let me tell you something right now. They're going to continue to hear it. You're going to hear it. That you don't have to settle for being a crumb eater. You don't have to settle for just being a low-level employee. You can become the boss. You can buy the company. He settled for being attracted to the little when God had so much for him. What he failed to believe was that he was a prince, that he was a son. And I don't care how bad we've done. I don't care what you've done. There's one thing that God cannot do. I said there's one thing God can't do, and he can't stop loving you. That's the only one thing that I know that God cannot do, and that is he can never stop loving you. I don't care what you've done. I don't care where you've been. I don't care how many times you talked about somebody. I don't care how many times you put a needle in your arm. I don't care how many times you've been married. I don't care how many times you've turned your back on God. I don't care how many times you've turned your back on Victory Outreach. I don't care how many times you have blown it and said things you should have never said. I I want you to know that God will never stop loving you. Ever. 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 Until you get that, you're going to be attracted to low-level stuff instead of being attracted to what you expect. Like when you walk in the room, not with pride, when you walk in the room, you're knowing you're expecting a good seat. But if you don't get one, you know that that's a day of humble days. You know, you're expecting, like, I'm going to sit up and over here, and over here. And then when they say, oh, we only got a seat for you way in the back. Oh, I guess it's humility day. No problem. I got to eat. I need my pie. I haven't had no humble pie in a couple of months. I have the front row. I've been, you know, everywhere I go. So I need to eat some humble pie. Come on, somebody. Think about it for a minute. Let me wrap this up, okay? Can you come to the keyboard to give everybody hope? We do the same thing because we forget who we are. See, God wants you to be attracted to what you expect. And if you expect little things, it's going to be difficult for you all your life. But if you can get what I'm talking about tonight, see, even though he was tired of the way he was living, even though he's ready for change, okay, I'm going to go back to Pop's house. That's it. I'm done. I can't do this no more. I'm going back to the home. I'm going back to church. It's back to church month. I'm going back to church. He still had a low-level expectation of who he was. So he didn't feel like he's going to get any much. He's going to go, and he's just going to be the martyr. He's going to get whooped and punished, and everybody's going to, you know. No. Come here. See, he had such a low level expectation that he couldn't believe for nothing more. See, he had already made up his mind that he would just be satisfied, like to being a servant. And of course, as godly people, we want to be servants, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, it's a different kind of servant. I'm talking about the ones that live in the bunkhouse in the back that are not part of the family. Those guys they had a real ranch. Those were not sons. Those were not sons. His only attraction was survival. Sometimes all our attractions is survival. If I could just survive this. If I could just get past this year in marriage, maybe we'll make it to the next one. Come on. How many people tripped out on us when we were on the cruise? How many years? 41? Where are you guys from? You can't just survive. Your marriage is called to thrive. You weren't designed just to survive. You're designed to thrive, man. Period. Your life is designed to... Listen, you need to get this in your spirit. Some of you have dreams of opening up a business. You need to include in that dream, you won't be open on Sundays. You might be off... I'm never going to miss that. You know, I know people that will never... I used to have a friend of ours that I knew that he used to fly. Literally fly. If you had to. Another guy that I know for a fact, for sure, for a fact, and you would know who he is. I don't know if you guys remember Carmen. Remember Carmen, the singer Carmen? You do, you're telling your age. But Carmen, I don't care where he's at in the whole world. His church was in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And he either had a private jet or some kind of get to church. He would never miss. I don't care if he had the biggest concert in Anchorage, Alaska. He flew in to church on Sunday mornings to one of the services. Gave you the last service, but he wouldn't miss church on Sunday. Period. That's something Sebi said about that dude. Big musician. A lot of those musicians, they have concerts and they don't go to church on Sundays. They're Christians. They believe God. They pray. But they don't go. Because they're out there in the middle of everywhere, in the middle of Timbuktu someplace, and they kind of get a flight sometimes. Not this guy. I remember that was attractive to me. I remember that was very attractive to say, you know what? This guy is willing. Some of you, God's called to do some big things, but you can't see it yet. Some of you that are getting back to church now and starting to get back into church, you got to walk with expectation that God says something big for you. Be attracted to what you expect, man. I would like to go into the rest of the story, but I'm not going to do that. But if you expect to receive from God, then you're going to receive. You're going to receive, but you have to expect it. You have to walk your life in expectation to the point where you're just looking, you're attractive to what you're expecting. I know God says it's coming somewhere. When you walk in expectation, people will be attracted to your expectation. There's something to be said about the anointing and faith. People of faith, there's like an attraction to that. And I said, God, I want our church to be an attractive church. Not so much just outside. You know, I don't know how many. I think it's like $100 billion industry is the beauty and, you know, like beauty products, makeup and hair stuff and to make women beautiful. Guys, more of apparel. It's more of apparel. Like the Jordan 33s came out just yesterday. Jordan 33s. Like, my God, Jordan's going to be like, okay, I just want to show you guys this is 101. And he's like a zillionaire. 101. And then his grandson's going to come up and take. Think about it. People want to be attractive. They want to look attractive. They want to look cool. They want their brows did. Their hair did. Their nails did. That stuff's not even in the makeup industry. The makeup industry is like $100 billion industry for makeup. Why? Because you want to look beautiful. One way want to look good for their man. They want to look good. You know, just looking good, like attractive. You want to be attractive. Guys, you know, they try to be attractive, and that's good. Be attractive. We want the outward building to be attractive. One of these days, our church on the outside is starting to get better. We're going to make it look more attractive. But that's not what I'm talking about. Although those are important, and we're going to do that. I know that we need a lot of work outside. We need to get the prison fences out. You know, there was some barbed wire out there. We at least cut the barbed wire off. Some of you are feeling too at home walking like that. Just we're having church and you're out there walking along the fence. Doing burpees out there on the fence out there. Hey, come inside, brother. Church says, oh, sorry about that. I just, you go flashback, got my hour. My hour and out in the yard out there. All to myself. There ain't nobody out here, so it's by myself. We want it to be attractive. That's not what I'm talking about. I want us as a body. See, we're not attractive if we're not together. If we're together, we're attractive as a church, man. If we're all walking around, if you guys are up here and there's an, you know, every time I turn around, you're, I'm not saying you do that, but if that's what you're doing like that, it's like, I ain't going to get into that. I'm going to be looking at them like, what are they doing? Is their back hurt? Let me just ask this question. How many excited for Tiger Woods? That's weak. Well, we're not golfers. I don't care. The guy made a comeback. He messed up royally. 10 years. He messed up everything. His whole life was all messed up. And he's the man again. I hope he learned. Because I love Tiger Woods. I love comebacks. I like to see somebody come back. I've been reading all week all the things that have been said about him for the past 10 years. But if you've ever had a conversation with me one time in the last 10 years, and I'm believing for Tiger to come back. I'm hoping to get a hold of God. I'm hoping he'll just make a comeback and just prove that you can come back when you mess up. People will be attracted to your expectation, and it will inspire and fire expectation in their heart. So what are you attracted to tonight? It's a person who's attracted to what they expect, have some certain qualities. Real quickly, they follow through on things because they know what's at the end of it. They're dedicated every day. They get up in the morning, expecting. I want you to think about 4 or 5 years ago, 6 years of some of you. You didn't expect nothing to happen. And now you wake up every morning with what? Expecting. Why? Because you've had a change of mentality, that's why. You begin to think on who you are, who you belong to. That you're a prince, that you're a princess. third thing that happens with these people, the qualities they have, is they're attracted to what God is attracted to. And they begin to expect God to work in them and through them. And the last one is they give to see it through. They give their life, man. We give our lives. We had a lot of time to think this past couple of weeks. I mean, Sister Barbara really set aside. And I was telling Pastor Pat earlier that it doesn't matter. I don't care where we go. I don't know. It's weird. Like, we're just attracted to people. And some people were like, we were sitting around watching some people have fun and stuff like that. And one lady just came over and just started confessing her feelings to Sister Barbara. You know, I know I'm with this guy, but it's just three of us. But when nothing's going on, it's just, that's my husband, that's my sister-in-law. And Barbara looked like, do I know you? What the heck is going on here? It's just weird. It's like people just, I don't care where you go. But the anointing is attractive. Just make sure you don't use your attractiveness in a wrong way. See, those certain qualities include, like, you're willing to give your life, your heart, your abilities, your money. It's evident, man. It's evident. We gave $12,000. We're not done yet, by the way. Got two more days. Friday at 5 o'clock is the last moment. Unless you're there, you can give it on Saturday. There's some of us going. But we've made some big efforts. Now I'll close with this. We were just in Miami, Florida. And we spent the day there. We got off the cruise and went there and we spent the day there. And we went out to eat and we started to talk to people. And as we began to talk to people, we saw the need. I've always had a heartbeat for Miami. Since early on, way before, I've always had a heartbeat for Miami. I thought to myself, my heart beats for Argentina and it beats for Miami. Those are the two places that if I could send a church, if we could send a church as a church or as a multi-region or as a region, I would do that. I would be sold out to that. I would spend everything I could to do it. I would be there. I love those two places. I want to be in those two places. I believe God has called us to send churches there. I'm expecting that. And the Lord showed me stronger than ever at the end of this week, this past week, is that I need to begin to be attracted to what I expect. And T-Bones right now, I follow him on Instagram. He's all over Argentina, really a lot. But he's there this week, and he's showing me all the Argentina. He's showing the thing. Yeah, aquí estamos en Argentina. Mira la comida. And just the concerts and all. And I'm just looking at Buenos Aires. And I said, we need to be there. I need to be there. I need to go there. I want to go there. Who wants to go with me? Let's go. I have that attraction to that city. But Miami was stirred up in Barb and I's hearts again as we've been to go around there, and we're there. It's like crazy. And then this guy is driving us. He was the shuttle guy from the embassy suites. He shuttled us over to the restaurant, then we went to a movie, and he shut us over to the movie, and we're there. And I start talking to him. I go, hey, tell me where the bad parts are at. He goes, why? I go, ¿de dónde eres? De Colombia. And I go, oh, you're from bad parts, you know. Tell me where the bad parts are. They start telling me all these names. Alapuca is the worst area, he says. Then you got Alapate, and then you got just a couple of blocks off the main place on 8th Street in South Beach. That's right, that's bad, right? You don't want to walk any past three blocks. I go, yes, I do. He goes, what's wrong with you guys? God, I start telling him what we do, and he goes, oh, I'm a Christian. I'm like, well, I need to connect with you. So when I come back, I have a connection. One person I know, maybe you can, you know, we can talk about, you know, okay. You know, and I just thought to myself, I'm attracted to what I expect. Are you attracted to? What are you attracted to? Are you attracted to what God wants for you? We should be attracted to the need. We're going to have a crusade. I know we've been saying we're having a drama, but we need to change that and say we're having a crusade, a New Mexico crusade. We're going to be in three cities in New Mexico. The UTC is coming. 30 people from the New York, 20-some people from the UTC are coming. We're going into crusade mode on Monday, this coming Monday. We're going to be feeding them, going to the streets. We need you guys. We need everybody. Let's go to the streets, man. We need everybody. We're going to have a march. We're having a march. You'll be hearing about that on Sunday. We're having a march on Saturday the 13th from the Fair and Square on Central right there all the way to our parking lot. We're having a march. Down Central, down through San Mateo. We've had a hard time with the city trying to get the street, so we're going to walk on the sidewalks. We're marching either way. And we're going to have a crusade. And we're going to pack this place out. We're not just going to have 300 people or 400 people. We're going to use every last chair we got, and most of you are going to have to stand up and usher. Because we're going to fill it up with people that need Jesus, the people that need God. I'm attracted to that. Are you attracted to that? Are you attracted to seeing people get saved? Stand to your feet with me. If you don't walk in expectation, you won't be attracted to much of anything. Or you might be attracted to the wrong things. Sin might be attractive to you. Men might be attractive to you. Women might be attractive to you. And the list goes on and on and on. Drugs might be attractive to you. See, if you're not attracted to what God wants, you're going to be vulnerable to what the devil wants. And it's time. God wants to bring a revival through our church. It's been prophesied for years that God is going to bring a revival through Albuquerque. But until we get together and unify in a way that nothing can break us apart, until we begin to be attracted to the expectation. God gave us the word expectation for 2018 so that we would believe it, we would buy into it, we would work in it and work through it so we could see the revival that God has promised our ministry. God wants to use your life, but you got to be attracted to what He's attracted to. What are you attracted to tonight? Why don't you get attracted to the anointing? Why don't you get attracted to the presence of God? Why don't you get attracted to your calling? Why don't you get out of that place where you're at of famine and run home to your daddy? Get to your daddy and put your arms open so we can put a robe and a ring and some sandals on your feet so we can let you know who you are. So we can look you right in the eyes and say, oh, welcome home. Ah, glad to have you back. It's so good to see you back here where you belong. Until you believe that, you're going to feel like a victim, or you're going to feel guilty. And God is saying, no more guilt, no more victim mentality, no more survival mentality. I want to give you, the heart and the heart and the love that you deserve, because He died on the cross for you. He loves you no matter where you've been, what you've done. He loves you with an everlasting love, and He can never stop loving you. I don't know what you're attracted to tonight, but if you'll start getting attracted to the vision of God and the vision that He has for your life, the vision we have, God will use your life. I want to open up this altar, and I believe that many of you here tonight need to come and make some decisions at this altar call. I believe that many of you here tonight need to say, you know what? I want to be attracted to the expectation of being all that I am in God. Everything that God has for me. I'm not going to lose one edge. I'm not losing one more day. I'm not going to stand here and say I don't deserve anything anymore. I am a son, a daughter of the living God. He has called me according to His name. He has called me to this church, to Victory Outreach. And oh, I want to give my heart. I don't want to withhold nothing. I want to be attracted to what I expect. And I expect, God, big things from God. I expect everything from You, God. Oh, come on. Come on.
I give You.